Welcome to the Hometown Bluegrass Show, the heart and soul of bluegrass music, brought to you straight from Western Kentucky. Join your hosts, Tim Batts, a passionate promoter of bluegrass and live music, and Josh Williams, three-time IBMA Guitar Player of the Year and a true bluegrass legend. They talk about the latest bluegrass news, interview your favorite artists, and tell lighthearted stories that celebrate the bluegrass tradition. Josh even gives bluegrass music tips in every episode. So grab your banjo, pick up your guitar, and let's have some fun together. This is the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
Hey, everybody. All welcome right. back to the Hometown Bluegrass Show. Here we are in the high atop the Hometown Bluegrass Show studios.
High atop.
Yeah, high atop on the penthouse floor.
That's right.
And coming at you from Western Kentucky, the heart of bluegrass music.
Yeah, far western.
That's right.
So, no, we are not East Missouri.
That's right, exactly. Well, it's good to be back with you guys. We're excited to bring you another episode. We got a good one coming up. We're going to have a great interview with Miss Ashley Lewis. We're going to talk to her in a little while. We got lots to talk about from our anniversary show. Josh has been playing a lot, got a lot of gigs coming up. He's going to play us a tune on the guitar. We got a new pick sponsor. We got lots of cool things going on. And this is our 50th episode.
Oh, we made it.
We made it to 50.
And it only took us 55 weeks.
Something like that, yeah. But hey, you know. But we had a great anniversary show a couple weeks ago at the Kentucky Opry, and kind of a little celebration of with the Jackson Purchase Friends of Bluegrass, and we kind of hijacked their bluegrass night and made it into an anniversary show. Josh put on a show for everybody and had a great time. So
it was a fun night.
It was a good night. Had a great crowd and just you and a guitar and kind of a. An unplugged, intimate night with Josh Williams.
There you go, yeah.
So, but no, it was really good. We recorded it, and that was our last episode. And hope you guys enjoyed that. Hearing Josh tell some stories and do some picking and grinning. So, how is that playing by yourself, just you and a guitar? Do you prefer that, or I assume you prefer a full band?
It's a lot easier when it comes to paying the band. When I'm by myself.
Yeah, that is kind of a little more convenient.
But no, I don't mind it at all. You know, yeah. I mean, I think some people may want to steer clear of it, you know.
Yeah.
Because
it's not easy. I mean, if you're not used to it.
No, I mean, you're literally up there, you know, you're bearing your soul, you know. Right. It's kind of like going up there without any pants on, you know.
Exactly.
And but no, it's never bothered me. In fact, you know, I've seen plenty of instances where, you know, I'd prefer that. Yeah. So.
Well, you've done it so long. Yeah, for sure. I mean, just no set list, I know you pretty well, so I'm sure you didn't really even have a plan.
So you just kind of
walked out there and went for it. So,
yeah. I decided which song I was going to start with while I was already out on stage.
Oh, okay.
So I was still thinking, like, what am I going to do, you know? And I was like, I'll do this one.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Well, I had best laid plans. I was wanting to do some cool stuff, and I had lined up for Rhonda Vincent and Russell Moore and Don Rigsby were all going to call in to me, and we were going to record that and try to get it to come through the PA for the audience to hear, and it all sounded great, but the technology just at the Kentucky Opry kept us from doing it, so I was kind of disappointed.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, we're gonna go with that. So it wasn't anything to do with my personal abilities, but
well, no, I don't think.
No, it was just couldn't get our equipment jiving with their equipment, and couldn't get it all worked out. So
no, too bad.
Yeah.
Man.
Anyway, but we had a great show. It was a good time. So
we'll keep working on that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We've had of course all of them on the show before, but those were. Three great people that wanted to kind of congratulate you and us, and they all were looking forward to it. But, Russell wasn't because he's a little busy right now, so got a little bit going on.
He does have a lot going on.
Yeah, he's
a busy feller.
Yeah, they've got a few shows. I talked to Colton Baker yesterday here in La Center, and, of course, that's Russell Moore's bass player, and he said they're they're about to play about five or six shows coming up here in Kentucky and Virginia and stuff, but then Russell's going to hit it hard with Allison, AK and US, and they're going to be balls to the wall for several months. So
that's right.
Anyway, but
they are, man. And you know what? Russell has worked so hard for so many years, and he's always had to be the guy to have to worry about, will this bus make it all the way to where we're playing and back home? You know, will I be able to pay these guys? You know, all that stuff. He's had all of the worries for how many years now?
Yeah, a lot.
30 and or something. For him to be able to go out and do this gig, all he has to do is
show up
and sing, play his guitar.
That's got to be a huge.
He deserves it, man.
It's probably going to be fun, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'll probably rejuvenate, you know, I would assume. I'm not speaking for him, but I could imagine it's got to be a much more relaxing situation. But
I imagine it's going to be his first few times probably going to feel like a fish out of water. Probably. You know what I mean? Just because.
Yeah.
But he's the true professional, man. He will do it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do it well.
Can't wait to hear them all together. And
you know, they have a new single coming out soon.
I heard that. Yeah. I heard that. Well, that seems to be kind of a new fad in bluegrass music, where a lot of times, I don't know what's happened, but maybe it's just the cost of living. But I mean, you know, you kind of have to play in a couple of bands or do several things to really make ends meet a lot of times. So I know,
absolutely.
While we talked about Don Rigsby, I mean, you guys kind of had some news with him recently where he's going to be kind of taking another gig with Balsam Range. So
yeah, but what he's doing is not going to interfere with us, you know.
Yeah, I saw his post. He was very clear with everybody. Look, Southern Legacy is my main thing, and this is what I'm passionate about.
So. Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, I appreciate him, you know, posting that.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessary, because we would never think that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we knew.
Right. Well, it was probably to alleviate all the rumors that people are going to throw, just like when Russell left. Oh, third time out's done, you know.
Yeah. And no, they're not. Yeah. They're very much not.
Yeah. Not the case at all. So, but yeah, that seems to be a kind of a popular thing these days where, you know, you kind of have to, I don't know. It just didn't seem to be that way 10, 15 years ago.
No. I did it a lot back then. I at one time, I had my band going, and I was playing in Randy Coors' band, and then I was also playing with Tony Rice Unit.
Oh.
So I had those three things that I was juggling, you know.
Oh, wow.
And made every one of them, and made great money during that time.
This
was
before you took the job with Rhonda?
This is between jobs with Rhonda.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot. That keeps you busy, man.
2008, 2012, through that four-year period. Yeah. But yeah, it was super busy, you know.
Yeah.
But it was worth it, you know. I mean, I got to play in three great bands with people that I really appreciated and looked up to, and you know, Randy is an amazing musician and singer, and you know, for him to be able to go out there and do what he does, which I don't think he's doing much anymore these days because he's so busy with his studio, Slack Key Studio down in Nashville. And, but he's got one of the best sets of ears in Nashville. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
I love hearing stuff that he's mixed or worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's a great player. You know, Randy Coors is one of the best dobro players, period.
Mm-hmm.
But he just has such a command over the instrument when he plays. That's the first thing that I ever noticed about him when I first met him. And, but, I mean, it's anytime that I got the opportunity to play with Tony Rice, obviously, that's going to be my main thing. But you know, I never had I think the only thing that ever kind of got in the way was when I went to rehab.
that kind of got in the way.
But I'd be dead if I hadn't. So I'm glad I did.
Absolutely. Well, that's cool, man. Well, that's interesting. It's I think bluegrass, in your opinion, how do you think bluegrass has changed the most in the last, say, 20 years? I mean, is there one thing that stands out to you that's like way different than it used to be, or is it?
Well, for starters, and my record is a big, you know, kind of shows this, people are not as afraid of drums anymore. Right. And if you listen to a lot of albums that are coming out right now, There's drums all over them. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them may have them up like I did because, you know, at the time that we recorded that, that was initially going to be my band project. Mm-hmm. And we had a drummer in the band. You know, he was a fifth member. And his name was Dave Racine. Still is his name, but we're not playing anymore. But, you know, that was, you know, we had a drummer in the band. So, and half of the stuff is country songs.
Right.
Done, you know, with banjo instead mm-hmm. of electric guitar. And there is some electric guitar yeah. on it. But, you know, I wanted that sound that Crow had back in the 70s, mm-hmm. you know, and early 80s. And was able to achieve that because of my producer, you know, J.D. Crow. Mm-hmm. And but there's a lot of guys that are doing that and putting it low in the mix where you kind of are like, I know I'm you're hearing
like
drums.
Halfway through the song, you're like, I think I hear drums.
Yeah. But also some of these guys that are great musicians are great drummers as well, mm-hmm. you know. Probably a lot of people don't realize, you know, Josh Swift, great dobro player, was with Doyle for many years, and now he's touring with the Isaacs.
Oh, yeah.
But he is an amazing drummer. Yeah. So a lot of the stuff that you hear, I don't know if – I think that Authentic Unlimited records with him
mm-hmm.
At his studio, 'cause their albums – or is a perfect example of an album that has the drums, but it's down in the right. mix.
Yeah. Isn't Mike Rogers a drummer, too?
Mike Rogers is a fantastic
drummer.
That's
what I thought, yeah.
That's what he did before he joined Doyle's band. He was playing drums for Craig Morgan.
That's right, yeah. I thought I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just one of my favorite voices and people in the industry. So, mm-hmm. well, that's cool.
Yeah, he's a great dude, man.
Yeah. Well, we need to get a studio owner or producer on here sometime, and I'd love Absolutely. To hear their view as to how the music has changed, you know,
yeah.
not maybe just the industry, but the music itself, you know, yeah. so that'd be cool. So,
well, and the styles that people play.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That's there. A lot of the younger pickers that are coming up, you know, they're trying to play like Crow, or they're trying to play like Sammy Sheeler, or they're mm-hmm. trying to play like, you know, whoever that might be around the circuit, you know, within the last 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are not really that familiar with Flatt & Scruggs or that familiar with Earl Scruggs.
Right.
You know, you know, that's, and that's bound to happen, you know, as the music changes, you know, kids are going to, look up to somebody that they saw
mm-hmm.
like Crow.
Right.
As opposed to somebody that they could never see who's passed away, mm-hmm. you know, before Crow. Of course, obviously we've lost Crow too, but just that as an example, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are, you know, trying to play, and I'm just as guilty of it too when it comes to guitar. I try to play like Tony a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of the time, but that's just a really big part of who I am,
right.
you know? And so, yeah, a lot of mandolin pickers sound like Adam Steffi, mm-hmm. you know, these days, or Chris Thiele.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's just the stylistic changes over the years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't have a lot of Sam Bush sounding mandolin players out there right now, which is kind of what I saw myself as, was mm-hmm. more of a cross a really weird, strange cross between Sam and like a Dan Tominski kind of style.
Mm-hmm.
So very rhythmic to and Dan's playing is very rhythmic too, but kind of more of a single string type of thing with Dan's and mm-hmm. fast slides and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, there are more people playing like Adam Steffi these days, and that's not a bad thing. You know, Adam's great.
Mm-hmm.
I miss hearing him play. We need to get him on here. We've been threatening
to
do
it about
for
it. I know
6 months, and we need to get him on here.
I know it. He had some great stuff with the Boxcars and even all that. Even Mountain Heart back in the day.
He's got two really good records.
Yeah.
Maybe even three now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, his solo projects are really good too.
He does have three now that I think about it, because one of them is an old-time kind of sounding record. And then he's got one more for the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, his original one that came out called Grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Great album.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gospel album, mostly.
Yep.
Not totally, but.
Yep, absolutely. We need to get him on here for sure. So if you've got anybody else you want to, we've here on the show, we've had some messages. So be sure and check us out on Facebook, the Hometown Bluegrass Show. Drop us a personal message, and we'd love to hear not only what city or hometown that you listen to us on, but anybody you'd like to hear on the show, we'd love to have them on. So we're excited about having Ashley Lewis on here in a little bit, and we're going to talk to her. And speaking of Facebook, just be sure, and that's where you can not only learn more about us and the show, you can communicate with us, but that's where you can also win two of our great sponsors, Paige Capo and now McEwen Picks. As our newest sponsors, come on board here, and you need to pay attention to our Facebook page on Fridays when this episode comes out. That's going to be your chance to win a free Paige Capo or a free McEwen Pick. So Josh is going to demonstrate one of those McEwen Picks here in just a little bit when he plays us a song with this Paige Capo, unless you don't need a capo and you won't use it, because I'm sure you don't know what you're going to play yet.
No, I do not. You are correct, sir.
But anyway, so, but yeah, stay tuned. That's where you can check us out and learn more about us on the Facebook page. So be sure and like and share and follow and all that good stuff on there. So, but we do appreciate that. So we'll take a quick break. We come back. Josh will figure out what he's going to play, and I bet you it's going to be good. Don't go nowhere.
Let's hope so.
Custom Automotive in Calvert City, Kentucky has been a family-operated business for over 50 years. When you call Custom Automotive, you'll talk to an experienced tire and wheel expert. They install wheels and tires on thousands of vehicles every year in addition to their online sales. Stop by and thank them for supporting Bluegrass Music. Custom Automotive, Highway 62, Calvert City, Kentucky, 270-395-7611. Or visit them online at customautoonline.com.
Looking for expert insurance advice from a team that truly knows Western Kentucky? At Paducah Insurance Agency, we're more than just policies. We're your neighbors, helping you protect what matters most. With locations in Paducah and Benton, Kentucky, we offer home, auto, business, and life insurance with top carriers like Erie Insurance, all at competitive rates. Locally owned and committed to your peace of mind, Jared Morgan and his team are here to help. Call Paducah Insurance Agency today at 855-853-4763 or visit paducahinsurance.com. Paducah Insurance, coverage you can count on from people you trust.
Howdy, friends. I'm Banjo Ben Clark, and you're listening to my good buddies, Tim Batts and Josh Williams on the Hometown Bluegrass Show. You've tuned in because you like valuable conversation about the world's best music. And if you want more good stuff like that, come on over to my website, banjobenclark.com, where you can learn how to play and purchase anything you might need when it comes to bluegrass-related instruments and accessories. My Gold Pick members over there can access hundreds of lessons for banjo, guitar, and mandolin with all kinds of resources to help you move on down the road with your picking skills. And if you're looking to purchase something, the deals can't be beat at Banjo Ben's General Store. All there on the same website, banjobenclark.com. Now back to the show.
Thank you, Banjo Ben Clark. So if you haven't been to his website, you need to go check it out, banjobenclark.com. And anything you buy on there, you can just use the promo code in your shopping cart. The promo code is Hometown10. That's Hometown10, and you'll get 10% off just for being a listener to the Hometown Bluegrass Show. And you may have noticed a new sponsor there, Paducah Insurance. Jared is come on board and sponsoring the podcast. He's a big fan of bluegrass music, Western Kentucky guy, and we're glad to have Paducah Insurance on board as well. So as all of our other great sponsors. So and now time for the portion of the show where Mr. Williams is going to edumacate us on how to play the guitar, or just maybe play and show his natural abilities.
Yes, that's what I will do. Oh, goodness. This is a very noisy chair.
Well,
never noticed that before, but
I can run and get some WD-40 real quick if you need me to.
No. I think it's more my jeans making the sound than anything. What kind of capo is this, Tim?
Well, that's a Page capo. Glad you asked, Josh.
That is a very nice capo.
It's a gold colored Page capo.
So. I just noticed that. It's like a rose gold or
something. Yeah, I know. That was one of the ones they sent us back a month or two ago. And it was been in the package up there on top of that gun cabinet. And just always kind of been a display. And I really had kind of started to blend into just the whole Bill Monroe picture and all the whole still up there. And I was like, wait a minute, that's a capo in that package. So I busted that thing open so you can use it on every episode. So.
There we go. Very good. So,
you can talk about that McEwen guitar pick you got there in your hand.
Yes.
That's our new sponsor. He is just a super great guy. Mark came up to us at the Kentucky Opry at our anniversary show and said, hey, I love what y'all are doing. I love I love your podcast. And he's also listening to my radio show, which is on the bluegrassjamboree.com every Thursday morning from 9 to 11 Central Time, 10 to noon Eastern. And he said, I want to be a part of y'all's show, man. And so he gave me that pick to try. I've been playing with it a little bit. I wanted to get your opinion on it as well. And we're going to give away one. And they sell for about $25. So we're going to give one of those picks away in every radio show and podcast, just like Page Capo. So excited
very nice.
About that. Yeah, the guy that won it Thursday on the radio show was from Canada. So, we're shipping the first one to Canada. So.
Yeah, well, that's awesome that we have friends in the Great White North that are listening to us.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be in Canada this year, Tim.
Are you?
Sure enough, I believe it's September, maybe August, September. I'll have to find out the dates before we get done with the show. I'll give you the dates. But I'll be in Rogersville, New Brunswick.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
With Southern Legacy?
Legacy.
You guys are just world travelers this year.
Oh, dude, yeah.
You're about to leave in a few days to go to the Czech Republic.
Yep. When this airs, I will be
in Prague. That's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Isn't that crazy?
That is awesome. Yeah, so when this comes out, you'll already be in another country.
Yes, wow. I'll be on the other side of the Atlantic.
And hoping your guitar makes it in one place.
Oh, my goodness,
your bourgeois guitar.
No, I'm not taking the bourgeois.
Fender or something?
No. I'm actually taking my Todd Sam's guitar. It's made out of a Mexican rosewood.
Oh, okay.
That's not an issue traveling.
I never thought about that.
Yeah,
is that an issue?
Well, it can be, and I'm sure having the it's Dana Bourgeois built the guitar, so I'm sure everything was done legally,
right.
But it's not even really worth the hassle anymore,
because
when you have a Brazilian rosewood or one of them endangered species of wood, you can leave with it, but you have a hard time coming back with it.
Wow.
So
I never thought about any of that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And that's a high dollar guitar, not that the Sam's isn't, but it's just with the Sam's is really cool guitar because Todd Sam's built it for me, and it's got a lot of qualities of a D18, but it still has the low end of a D28, which I love.
Yeah,
so. It's a great guitar, and I haven't played it in a while, and I'm getting it set up, and I'm going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be fun to get to play.
Heck yeah.
The old friend.
Well, that's cool.
Everybody always says, what kind of guitar is that? I said, it's Sam's. And he says, Sam's? I said, yeah, I bought it at Walmart. But no, the builder, Todd Sam's, actually has worked for Stuart McDonald for years.
Wow.
So Stumac, a big company up there in Ohio.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks from this weekend, you're going to be at the Owensboro Hall of Fame and Museum. playing playing a show, and then Authentic Unlimited is going to be there the same night. So
yeah, the 14th, I believe that is.
I think it is. Yeah, I'm actually going. I think me and my wife are actually going to go. It's just a couple hours from here. So well, yeah, good. The 14th. Yeah, Friday night the 14th, I think it is. Yeah, so
and they have a festival going on there at the hotel that's not far away. They're doing the KFC festival again, and I'm going to be there, kind of leading the jam portion of the festival.
Is that during the day on Friday, or is
it'll be during the day on Saturday?
On Saturday, gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
But yeah, that'll be fun. Get to jam with some folks there in Owensboro and. So if you're looking to jam, come hang out with me. It'll be Saturday the 15th. Yeah. On the 8th, which is the weekend in between, I'll be Southern Legacy will be performing in Nashville with a traditional Irish band. Treda, I believe, is the name of their band. And we'll be playing with them. And it's either Treda or Tata. I can't remember, but...
That's cool.
We're going to be performing with them, and
it's kind of unique.
Yeah, it will be, and we'll be doing some kind of a collaboration too. So that'll be a lot of fun. But we'll be at in Nashville, actually in Madison, and what is that place called? I can't think of it right now. Oh, the Harkin Hall, I think is what it's called, which is a fairly new venue, but.
Steve Tom's going to have to brush up on his Irish fiddle, ain't he?
Yeah, yeah, old Tom Stevens.
Old Tom Stevens. Oh, man, that'll be cool.
That is one of the best stories
that
ever.
Is. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, so our fiddle player for Southern Legacy is Steve Thomas, amazing, amazing musician. And but anyway, he got to play with Bill Monroe one time, and he tells the story. He says, you know, I thought me and Bill were buddies, you know, and anyway, he said he got to play guitar for him one night, and he said Bill went to introduce the guys, and he said it turned around to the bass player, which was Tater Tate at the time, and he said, "Tater, what's that boy's name that's playing the guitar?" And he said, "Well, Bill, that's Steve Thomas." And Bill turns around to the microphone, and he says, "Oh, we got a boy here today playing the guitar and doing a fine job. Tom Stevens."
Cracks me up every time. I love it.
Oh, it's so good.
And he tells it, it's so funny, too.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, he never told it that short either.
Yeah, no.
Oh, man.
It was one of those deals where it's like, you know, well, it was Blake Williams that called him, who was playing banjo with Bill at the time. Mm. He said, "Do you have a blue suit?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Do you have a white cowboy hat?" He said, "Yes." "Would you like to play guitar for Bill Monroe?" "Yes."
Yeah, no doubt.
And then, you know, all that happened. So that was great.
That is funny. So what are you going to do for us, man?
Have I done, in times past, have I done, summer wages? Have I done that?
I can't remember if you've done it on the podcast or not.
I may have, but you know what? I don't care. And I feel like singing it.
Well, there you go. It's on your mind.
It's a great song and one of my favorites on probably what I consider to be the greatest bluegrass album ever released, which was J.D. Crowe, The New South. We know it as 00-44, which was the number of albums on Rounder at the time. And Tony Rice, Ricky Skaggs, Jerry Douglas, Bobby Sloan and J.D. Crowe. So that's where I learned it from, but it's actually an Ian Tyson song. And it goes something like this. The odds won't ride with you. And never leave your woman alone. When your friends are out to steal her, here's her gamble and gone like summer wages. And we keep rolling on till we get to Vancouver, and the woman that I love is living there. It's been 6 long months and more since I've seen her. She may be gambled and gone like summer wages. And all the beer taverns all down along Young Street, the dreams of the seasons are all spilled down on the floor. On the beach stands a timber just waiting for falling, and the hustlers sitting watchfully as they wait there by the door. So I'll work on them towboats in my slippery city shoes, which I swore I would never do again. And through the gray fog-bound straits, where the cedars stand watching, I'll be far off and gone like summer wages. Find her, for good memories are what we had before. They should never be changed, for they're all that I'll take with me. Now I've gambled and lost my summer wages. Years are gambled and lost like summer wages. And a big voice crack there, but that's all right.
Hey, that was to the best of us.
That's right.
Good job, man. Sounds good.
No, thanks, dude.
What do you think about that pick?
I like the pick. It's a very cool. What's it? Do you know what which one he's
I don't know which material that is. He uses two or three different types of material, and I'll find that out and post it on our Facebook page. But
it'd be the casing or something like that, yeah. That is called.
Yeah, maybe. Not sure. But that's a 1.4 millimeter thickness, and it's a little bit rounded edges, you know. It's the closest, you know, I had him do that one closest to the blue chip that I've been used to, but I don't know. I think it sounds pretty good. Definitely sounds great with you playing it for sure. So
yeah, that, thank you.
That old Blue Ridge don't sound too bad.
Yeah, good little guitar here.
BR-160A Adirondack top.
There you go.
So anyway, but good job, man. Sounds great. That's definitely one of the greatest bluegrass songs ever. Ever.
Yes, so. I just love that stuff. I'm sure Ian probably had no idea how good his songs were in bluegrass.
Probably not. But definitely one of the greatest albums ever, for sure. So, all right, well, we're going to take a quick break once again, one final time, and get in a couple sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Miss Ashley Lewis, find out what in the world is going on in her world of music and bluegrasstoday.com or whatever else she's doing. And we're going to find out more about her and see what's going on. So don't go nowhere. We'll be right That's back. Right. The Lake House Inn at Sled Creek has undergone complete renovation in 2023. Our outdoor space is unlike any other at Kentucky Lake. With two in-ground pools, 18 rooms, and four cabins, we're just a stone's throw away from Kentucky Dam. If you're looking to make memories with your family, this nostalgic inn is for you. Welcome to your lake house, where modern meets rustic and becomes home. Reserve online at lakehouseinn.com.
For over 50 years, Puckett's Jewelry in Benton, Kentucky has been a trusted choice for fine jewelry that will last a lifetime and help you celebrate life's most precious moments. The new owners, Bart and Hannah Lewis, are excited to continue the Puckett's Jewelry legacy in Marshall County and are proud to support bluegrass music. Puckett's Jewelry on the square in Benton, Kentucky. Visit them online at puckettsjewelry.com.
Hey, this is Josh Williams for Page Capos. The Page Capo is lightweight, durable, and quickly attaches and allows you to change frets with ease. With controlled tension capabilities, Page Capo always stays in tune. But don't just take my word for it. Page Capos is also used by folks like Vince Gill, Ron Block, Tim O'Brien, Cody Kilby, Tommy Emmanuel, and James Taylor. So don't trust just any capo. Use what the pros use. Listen to the Hometown Bluegrass Show podcast for your chance to win a Page Capo on every episode. Do what I do and trust Page Capos. Order online at pagecapo.com.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Hometown Bluegrass Show. I'm your host, Tim Batts, along with my illustrious potentate and co-host, Josh Williams.
What did you call me?
Ray Stevens' favorite word, illustrious potentate, you know.
I have no idea what that
You don't
means.
Know what that's from? What that
What's
song?
That from?
That's from one Ray Stevens song.
I got that part, but what song?
I'm trying to remember the one where he puts the Harley up on a high dive and I can't think of the name of it now. Anyway.
God.
Ashley, help us out. You know,
I've got my dictionary. I'm trying to look up that word.
I know, right? Oh, well, the Page Capo is a great sponsor, and you've got to check out our Facebook page on Friday when we post the link to this podcast, and you got to listen to our interview with Ashley and answer a question from there. So she may just make something up, so you better be paying attention. So, but we are plumb tickled and excited to have Ashley Lewis on the podcast. How are you, girl?
Oh, man, I am great. Thank you so much for having me on this show, you guys. It's really, man, you guys have taken off with this thing. You got some awesome guests, and I am so happy that I get to be one of them.
Well, we are excited, too. You don't know what you've gotten into, so we have just plumb roped you right
into
this.
With the two of you guys, you just never know.
You never know. That's right. That's for sure. So we are excited, and I can't wait to let the audience hear and learn more about you and what you're up to and what you've been doing. I've went to your website this morning and so I could brush up on my Ashley Lewis bio information, which for the listeners is ashleylewis.net, by the way. So if you want to learn more about that or check out your music, but it says you started playing music like 6 years old or something. I mean, is it? That's a long time.
Yes, I was just a little kid. I actually started playing guitar, and my mom was a guitar player, singer, songwriter. So she was going to festivals, and I was like, "Hey, mom, I want to go with this. This seems like it's going to be fun. I don't want to miss out." So the first time I was really on stage was in Janesville, Wisconsin. There was a festival up there, and we hadn't even planned on really staying for the whole festival, but you know, we're like, let's be prepared for anything. We threw in some sleeping bags into the old minivan and we packed up and went to it. Well, we did end up staying the whole weekend because it was nice weather. We just car camped. We're like bluegrass gypsies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had just learned how to play two or three chords on an old Takamine guitar that our friend had pulled out of a garbage can. He fixed it up, gave it to me, and I'd played these three little chords, and I got up the nerve to enter an amateur contest. And I wanted to so bad. I just was like, you're six. You don't know any better. You don't know to be afraid. You don't realize that there's probably going to be other people that actually have talent in a talent contest. But everyone's like, let her do it, man. Don't discourage her. My mom's like, what if she gets stage fright? She knows like one song. And she's like, all right, you want to do it? We'll do it. So I got up there and I played and sang Skip to My Lou. Wow. I curtsied at the end because I'd watched way too many Shirley Temple movies and thought that would be a good way to, end it.
In true bluegrass fashion.
That's right.
I ended up winning $75.
Holy man.
And
that's what Josh gets paid to do a gig, I think.
Everyone said, you know what, don't get used to it in bluegrass, because instead of playing a song for 3 minutes and getting $75, you're going to play for 75 minutes and win $3.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what, this is my answer here. So I just started playing mandolin after that. I loved it. I started taking the old baby monitor that my mom had around the house, and I would stick my brother in another room, and I would play DJ. I would make him listen to my little podcasts or my radio shows across the house. So I kind of visited my my musical passion on everyone around me. And, you know, actually, Josh, do you remember the first time that I was on stage with you?
Is this pre-rehab or after rehab?
This would be pre-rehab, so probably
this
not.
This was a long was time
this,
ago.
Was this Sandwich, Illinois? When was this? Where was
okay,
this?
I think this was at the folk festival. Yes, it was definitely that folk festival. It was in the middle of the island. Do you remember that? And you were playing with Greg Cahill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was like 10 years old. You were a teenager. And you were always so sweet to me and so encouraging. And I remember somehow y'all pulled me up on stage and I was playing something. I don't even remember the song. It's probably an instrumental or something.
I do remember that. Now that you say that. And she was, of course, your mom was, you know, a big advocate for you. And you know, she explained to me how long you've been playing and that, you know, you were interested in picking something. So I thought, you know, I told Greg said, well, let's bring her up, you know? So I said, okay, you know, so yeah, that was a long time ago, Ashley. That was, wow.
That was not the last time we shared a stage, but the first, and I will never forget how amazingly kind and encouraging you've always been to young people and music. I mean, that's what this music is about, you know, just bringing everyone along with you. And you know, gosh, I mean, where would we be without that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, somebody did that for me, you know, when I was a kid. So, you know, had they not, I don't know where I'd be today. You know, I probably wouldn't be the picker that I am. But that's very important, you know. And if you have a bad day, you know, I mean, you could accidentally say something and not mean it badly, but it could be taken the wrong way. And, you know, that could be what makes or breaks somebody, whether they want to play or not, you know?
That's true.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I was always very encouraged by, you know, my quote-unquote heroes at the time. And they were, you know, always so gracious and nice. And it's kind of, you know, our job now that we're older, you know, we need to give the young people those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, that's cool. So where did your musical journey take you from there after you were 10 years old, opening for Josh Williams and Special C?
Well, let's see. I remember just constantly like I would go home and I would listen to my favorites, you know, Danny Roberts, Sam Bush, Josh Williams. I would slow down the tracks and I would copy everything. I would just try to mimic and literally just steal everything I could from my favorite people. And then eventually, when you've got this library in your head, you start creating your own music from that. And that was a really cool process for me when I was about 15, 16. I really started writing my own songs and I found my own voice, even though you don't have a ton of life experience to write about at that point. It was just a really incredible feeling to begin to make my own style, really. And finally, I wasn't just copying Bill Monroe and everything else that I had fallen in love with, but I was turning it into something of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first record I did when I was about 16, and probably the best song or the most meaningful song to me on that was the very last one that almost didn't make the cut. And it was called Starrett's Last Run. Now, this album is completely, like, I've never released it digitally, so I probably might do that one day.
What are you doing? Oh, is that?
That's her single, Mary, Did You Know, that I accidentally hit play on. Yeah, I was perusing your website, and I was like, where is that music coming from?
Oops, yeah, that is a pop-up, sorry.
Yeah, I guess that's no problem at all.
So what, did you just scroll down and it started playing? Or?
Yeah. Well, I clicked on music. I clicked on right there and on the music page and it just started playing.
It just set to autoplay.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, that's all right, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Technology.
But anyway, yeah. So this song, so I was at, do y'all remember Romp, like when it was, I guess it might still be on the banks of the river there in Owensboro. And there was that hydroplane boat accident where the guy was practicing for a race up and down the river, and then his boat flipped because there was like old remnants of a dam still down in the river that they had only blown out the top. And so it created these weird eddies. And those boats go like 100 miles an hour. So mm-hmm. he'd flipped it, and he did not make it. Wow. And I remember seeing all the emergency vehicles coming down, and some boaters pulled him out of the water. And then his wife came down and she was just screaming, and it was horrible. And so I went back and wrote that song in like 5 minutes.
Wow.
And the album was already done. I was only, like I said, 16 years old or something, but people were like, no, you got to put this last one on it. You kind of, have to, you witnessed this thing. And so I did. I went back in and recorded it. And years later, his best friend, the boating guy, Billy Starrett Jr. was his name, his best friend emailed me. And he's like, I just wondered, is this really about like my best friend? And I said, yeah, it is. And he's like, that's like incredible, because, I didn't realize anyone had ever done anything about this, and kind of had given him peace or whatever. And so that was just an incredible experience to have been able to touch a complete stranger with something that you just witness,
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty neat. And that's on your, did you release that as a single or as a?
So that's the first album. It was called Past Presence. And I'm getting ready to actually, I only ever printed that up as CDs, and I'm getting ready to actually kind of do like a throwback, whatever, to my first recordings.
Oh, okay.
And actually put those out there. Cool. I was really young, but from there I recorded another album and a lot of singles. Danny Roberts helped produce that second one, and he's just an incredible mandolin player, and Jimmy Mattingly as well. And then the third album, like the third full length album, was named Captivated.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just Jimmy Mattingly produced that. Of course, you all know him from the Grascals. Mm-hmm.
and some other guy that he plays for. Yeah, and Garth or something.
Yeah. I don't know. He wears a big hat. But anyway, he is just the most incredible person. Just musically, he's got this insane gift. And then personally, just the sweetest guy. And so we always work together on everything that we do. Everything I put out, he's got a hand in it. And Mary, did you know that just started playing? That was the last single we did. And it's just, yeah, it just, I love whatever magic it is he brings to whatever he touches. So. Yeah,
well, he is a great guy. Funny story real quick. I saw Bark Lowry here in Paducah, Kentucky, where we live, at a theater, the Carson Center. And he, of course, wrote Mary, Did You Know? And but he was about halfway through his show, you know, he was like, well, I'm going to do a song you probably know. And he said, I've got a great big giant house in Nashville, Tennessee, and I like to tell people it's the house that Mary built. And then he played Mary, Did You Know? It was funny.
But, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a great song. I've got to listen to your rendition of that. I have to do that. I won't even wait till Christmas. I'll do it now. So.
Oh, it's always been my favorite Christmas song. I sing it every year at our church's candlelight service, and I just love it.
Yeah, that's a great one for sure. So, well, if you ever want some comedic relief, now we have had Danny Roberts on the show, and that was a hoot. But Greg Cahill, we mentioned earlier, he was on our show, and I think my face hurt after that episode with him hearing him tell Josh Williams stories all night. That was that was pretty cool. So,
that's to go a back must and listen to right there.
Yeah, you'll have to go back and listen to that episode for sure. So he had me dying laughing. So. But
that was a fun one.
Yeah. So you're how do you play music much? Are you how often are you playing, and what else are you doing?
Oh my gosh! So I've always had way too many irons in the fire. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's kind of like, where do I start, right? So,
well, what'd you do today, Ashley?
There you go.
Did you get up and go to work today?
You know, I did, but I also spent a lot of time outside planting my garden. And
where do you live?
So that's kind of the fun part.
Oh, gotcha.
I grew up in a little town called Sandwich. It's way out in the country, right? So you go west and you drop off into the sunset. If you go east about an hour, you'll hit Chicago. So
I thought I sent some Illinois in that voice there.
Definitely. My family's all from Kentucky. Oh. So it's you know, it's an interesting, I'm an interesting mutt over here. But as I grew up here, just running around cornfields, right? And then when I put out that third album, I was spending so much time in Nashville. I literally just, I stopped driving back and forth, and I drove my parents' RV to Nashville, and I parked it. This sounds a lot seedier than it was. I parked it by the river, and it's not like she lived in a van by the river. I swear, it was a nice motorhome, and it was a campground. It had just opened up by these amazing people down around Nashville, I mean, outside in the country. Mm-hmm. But it was the most beautiful river in the entire world, the Piney River. Mm-hmm. And it's still a campground. They had these awesome pavilions. So I was the first person to be staying at their brand new campground. So I had the entire pasture to myself, the entire swimming hole to myself, and I was just loving it. So that was the whole process of where my head was when I was recording Captivated. And you'll hear songs on there like Mermaid and some of these things that were just capturing. It was very magical, right? Because I would swim all day in my little swimming hole, and then I would go record at night. And it was just so much fun. So carefree, you know?
Yeah.
And then I remember I was getting a little, you know, I mean, you're out there in the middle of nowhere. It was a little spooky, right? And I started hearing drums at night, right? Like very tribal drum beats. And then I started hearing like screams.
You weren't smoking anything, right?
I was not.
Okay.
Totally straight up.
I'm hearing them now.
I started sleeping with this like 8-inch buckskinny knife under my pillow. I don't really know what I thought I was going to do with that. But then came the howling. And I'm just like, this was all happening across the river, like literally, you know, I don't know, 300 yards from me. And I'm like, what the heck is going on over there? Well, it turns out it was a rehab facility. And that was part of their, you know, cleansing ritual something. They would dance around the fire and holler and whoop and scream. And then I did not witness this, but some other folks, neighbors, they said that they used to cover themselves in mud, butt naked, and then go down to the river to clear off. So I'm just like, this is a completely different world, right?
That's crazy. Wow.
And so that's kind of how I eased into my Tennessee living. About that time, I released Captivated, and it was my first song to go number one, was Rivers Rising.
Wow.
And it was
cool.
Written again because that river that those crazy people were always swimming in, and yeah. That river would flood, and yeah. You had to get your RV out of there. Not and bad. So I got pretty good at driving that thing in the mud. So you did not get out.
I just pulled up Captivated on Apple Music, and I'm sitting here looking at one of these songs that says, The River's Rising, and then three songs down, Another Place, Another Time, featuring Josh Williams. I'm like, what the crap? Did you know you were on there?
Oh, you didn't know that?
I didn't until just like 10 seconds ago. I'm looking at him going, that's you. And he's like, yeah. You never even told me this before this interview started.
You never asked.
Well, you never told me. You just that's said, pertinent information.
No, it's not.
Okay,
you
come
said,
on,
do you
Josh,
know her?
Admit.
I said, yes.
Oh, see.
It's your favorite duet ever to sing,
it
right?
It is. Dad? It honestly is. How long has it been since we've sang it, though? My gosh.
Oh, my
I think
Lord.
This is like
I'm
it's.
Dying.
I think it's 10-year anniversary. It's time for another one, Josh. Come
yes,
on.
It is. I'm
hey,
ready.
If I said, "Hey, you know Ashley Lewis," he goes, "Yes." I'm like, "Don't you think one great thing to say was, well, of course, I was on her most recent album. We did a duet together. That would have been good information to know."
I also did a week or 15 days or something like that up in Canada.
Yes, that was so much fun.
At Niagara, basically.
That's crazy. I'll be darn well.
So that song wasn't even written. Do you remember that? The song
yes.
was like still in the works, and you helped me finish it. Mm-hmm. So it really deserves some of your writer's credit on there.
Yeah.
Because the song was just floating
mail,
around,
buddy.
And I'm going to split all $10 with you.
No. I thought it was $3.
So it was like... It was not finished, and I was like, I want this to be uncaptivated so bad, and I don't know what to do with it. And so finally, just I don't know, it must have been the Canadian essence up there or whatever, but came home all inspired and was able to finish that. And then Josh was amazing enough to come in and sing it with me, and it's got to be one of my favorite songs on the record. I just love it.
I still to this day will get messages from people that say that they love that song.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't even know if I've heard this song. And what, there's a classic country version of it too? What the heck?
Oh, we had drums. Yeah, we had drums and some piano.
Modern day man feel here on this.
Yeah, could be.
Hey, I know what we could do.
What?
We need to do a 10-year anniversary music video of it.
There you go.
Hey, and I'll shoot the video. There we go.
Cool.
Yeah, you could do that, actually.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's cool. Heck yeah. We'll make it happen. Well, that's crazy. Yeah, a little interesting information. That'd been good. We'll have to play that song before we close out. And,
sure.
So I got to hear it, so that's cool. So, well, that's how we'll close the show. We'll play that.
There you go.
That's a good idea.
Well, the one last cool thing that I'm working on now, so I'm going to tell you guys because I haven't told anybody else, so you're going to be the first ones to hear about it.
Hot off the press.
So I don't talk a lot about stuff like this because, you know, I don't know, I'm in my own little world here, but I feel like it's finally time to get it out there and talk about it. And, you know, Tony Rice was such an amazing person. And Josh, you were actually the one that introduced me to him at the Old Town School of Folk, remember?
I do remember that, yes.
And he was just so special to everybody. And after we met, he would just call me and we would just kind of share some of that Tony wisdom, right? And so this went on for many months and we just got to be buddies and he would just talk about the coolest stuff. And one day he called me and he said, I got this song idea and I want you to write it. And I'm like, whoa. I mean, when Tony Rice tells you to write a song for him with his words and his idea, you're just like, I grabbed the closest thing to me, a paper plate, I think. And I started writing down everything that he was saying. Mm-hmm. And it's just lines and ideas and the whole concept. And I jotted it down and that was the last he talked about it. And then I just, you know, after he passed away, it was so sad and I couldn't do anything with it for a long time. But then got together with Tim Stafford because, I mean, you know, Tim, he knows so much of the history with everything. And Terry Heard, actually. And we wrote the song. So it's Tony's last song, basically. And I'm getting ready real soon to record it.
I know somebody who plays guitar a lot like Tony Rice.
I know. I think that would be pretty darn awesome. Not to put you on the spot or anything.
I would love to.
That's cool.
I think I did share this with you a long time ago, when we were kind of dealing with it. I think you've heard it, actually. You're probably one of the few people. Jimmy's heard it, too.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty excited about that. I think this is the year to finally do it for him, for his sake. You know, I want to make sure that it's, you know, what his family is cool with and everyone, and that it goes to him, you know, because it's his idea.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Well, girl, you have done lots of neat things in your life for sure. I mean, none greater than living in a van down by the river, but I mean,
okay. the cool thing about that is I started working for Bluegrass Today right around the time that my album came out.
Yes.
And, you know, I absolutely am obsessed with Bluegrass Today, not only because it's fulfilling a need for artists everywhere, but because everybody that works there is they're musicians. They might not tell you about it, but they're all musicians' hearts.
Yeah.
And we've got over 1.5 million annual viewers now. So it's just growing constantly. We're getting to, you know, work with everybody, the independent people like I am. Record labels, festivals, you know, you never know who is going to call. And I just love that aspect mm-hmm. of it. And because of all these, you know, cool things coming together, I was able to build my little Nashville house. So no longer living by the river.
Well,
I have my sweet little writer's cottage.
That's awesome.
But I will always have the memories.
Yeah. Well, ever since our very first episode, 50 episodes ago, by the way, this is our 50th episode. We have done we started out calling it the Bluegrass Today segment, but that's just kind of where we got our info. Like, we don't rehearse this podcast. We started out kind of scripting it, and that went by the wayside and 10 seconds, but so we basically start almost every episode. We get on bluegrasstoday.com and we just kind of mm-hmm. look and see what's going on lately, and like, you know, and of course Josh knows everybody on there, and we use it religiously. It's just really the go-to for bluegrass news and information. So that's so cool. So you write articles and stuff for them, and is that mainly what you do, or marketing, or
no? I am completely in the executive marketing position. So gotcha. I basically help people get the word out about what they're doing,
gotcha.
Whether it's a new release or, you know, I'm also, you know, I endorse G-Just strings and IntelliTouch tuners and a whole bunch of things, blue chip picks. So, you know, working for years with companies on how to you know, find new ways to engage people. I was already doing this stuff, and to have the opportunity to do it for all these other artists and companies was mm-hmm. like incredible. It was a perfect fit for me. So yeah, I love it.
That's perfect. Absolutely. Yeah. That would be my dream job too, I think, as well. If I could do that, like what you're doing in podcasting, that would just be awesome. So,
Tell me about you guys. I mean, your podcast is now number 50. That's pretty impressive. I'm even more excited that I get to be number 50.
Yeah, you're on our 50th episode. I mean, we're a little over a year into this, and we just kind of started it on a whim. I mean, we put on a little festival at Calvert City, Kentucky, called the River Folk Fest. Our Jackson Purchase Friends of Bluegrass, Josh and I, I'm the president. Josh is on the board of directors for that. And we started doing this festival. This year will be our third year. And so we've had the Grascals the first 2 years. And this year we got Volume 5 and a few others that, you know, we're working on. But the first year we did it, we were just sitting around talking, and Josh and I said, "Hey man, come to my truck. I'm doing this radio show on the local classic country station, bluegrass show, and I would like to record like a little stinger of you just saying, 'Hey, this is Josh Williams, you're listening to the Hometown Bluegrass Show,' or whatever." Actually, he said, "This is Josh Williams, you're listening to my friend Tim's stupid radio show," I think is what he actually said. Yeah. I think I still have that recorded. But anyway, I said, "Man, what we ought to do is a bluegrass podcast, and I would love to do that." I said, "And you should do it with me." And his exact words were, "Hell yeah." So So that's what started it. And like a month later, we were recording, and it's been going. So, anyway, here we are, 50 episodes.
That is awesome. And for all those people that have listened this far, and, you know, if you need to know something that, you know, you need to call in with earlier to get the trivia, I am a Taurus. I am bullheaded. I am a Taurus. I never quit. So that's your little trivia bit if they've made it this far.
Absolutely. That is perfect. I love it. Nobody can Google that and find that out. So. Well, Ashley, girl, you're a sweetheart, and we love what you're doing at Bluegrass Today and can't wait to hear more music from you, and especially this new song you're talking about, and we gotta get some more stuff out. So,
absolutely. Let's go to Canada again, Josh. That was fun.
I am ready. That was so much fun. I would do that tomorrow.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. Well, shoot, let's close the show out with another place, another time from the Ashley Lewis Captivated album from 2014. So we'll just play this song to end. How's that sound, Ashley?
That sounds great. Thank you, guys.
All right, girl. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to hang out with us. We really appreciate it. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, cool, man. Well, let's play this song. What you say? You remember how it goes?
I do.
All right. Well, here we go. This is Ashley Lewis and Josh Williams, Another Place and Another Time on the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
If you were my baby, I'd hold you through the night,
and I'd kiss you as our passion glows into the dawning light. 'Cause that would mean another day. I'd know you were safe in my arms.
I'd remind you why you love me,
convince you of my charms.
Another place, another time, I'd be yours and you'd be mine. If the stars light up just right, we wouldn't have to say goodnight in another place and another time.
I would love all your convincing and trust you with my heart.
The truth is you don't have to try. You had me from the start.
My wild imagination wrapped up in nothing but the rain and our midnight lullaby.
bound with silken chain. Another place, another time, I'd be yours and you'd be mine. If the stars line up just right, we wouldn't have to say goodnight. In another place, in another time. Just don't know it yet.
I can't let this feeling go. No, I just can't forget.
Every dream and fantasy of plans we haven't made.
And the photos that betray our love can't be let to fade.
I'd be yours and you'd be mine.
If the stars light up just right,
we wouldn't have to say goodbye. In another place, in another time. In another place,
at another time.
That is freaking awesome, man. What a great song.
Yeah. She's a great writer.
Man. So she wrote that?
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool, man. I mean, that could be a number one country hit, as far as I'm concerned, even, you know, just, but.
Yeah, sounds good with the piano in it.
It does, man. That is so cool. Man, that's awesome. I feel stupid that I haven't listened to that song before. But that is really cool. So, man, what a sweet girl. And just,
yeah, she's, I adore her. She's just sweet as all get out.
She sure is, man. That's really cool. So, well, man, it's been a great show, great episode. Thank you for your wonderful rendition of Summer Wages. That was awesome. And we've had a great time catching up, and lots of great live music, so you guys get out there and enjoy some. You may not be able to make it to the Czech Republic this weekend, but you can at least make it to Owensboro, Kentucky in a couple of weeks, and then also Nashville next weekend, the Southern Legacy, and lots of great live music.
But if you happen to be in Europe this weekend,
that's right.
We'll be part of the World Bluegrass Summit is what we're going to be there for. It'll be us. Here from the States, and then Southern Legacy, that is, from the States, and then John Reichman from Canada, which his band, the Jaybirds, will be there as well. So it'll be both bands. So it should be a really fun weekend.
That'll be a hoot, Sandy, right there. Well, sounds good. Well, thank y'all for listening to the 50th episode of the Hometown Bluegrass Show. We hope to be coming at you on our 100th episode as well, because we sure have fun doing it. It's a lot of fun. So you guys just enjoy life, be blessed, and keep picking and grinning. And remember, if you got time to breathe,
you got time for music. A one and a two and away we go.
Well, folks, that's a wrap for this episode of the Hometown Bluegrass Show with Tim and Josh. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Facebook to stay connected to your bluegrass community. Got a question for us? A story to share? Or an artist we should feature? Drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. You can find all the details at timbats.com. Thanks for listening to the Hometown Bluegrass Show, where the heart of bluegrass music lives. This has been a Bats Music and Media production.